We need to be able to control our speech. We need to be careful of what we say, because sometimes what we say damages relationships to such a point that they will never be the same again. And sometimes we can say and do things that will ruin the reputation of others, or we can say and do things that will put a wedge between us and someone else that cannot be repaired. When I was growing up, I had two brothers and a sister, and my two brothers and I, we were all a year apart, so we were pretty competitive and we were pretty mean to each other. Anybody else have a brother or sister that was mean to them? Yeah, okay. You know what I'm talking about then. We picked at each other all the time, and we would call each other names from time to time. Anybody have a brother or sister that you called each other names? How about, do you still call them names? Yeah, I do too. My brothers and sister, we get along great now, but I remember growing up and we would talk bad about each other, or we would say something about each other, and we always had this phrase, and you probably know it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You ever heard that? That was the biggest lie anybody has ever told you. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can crush you. And I want to talk to you today about the power of words. In particular, I got two areas that I want to talk to you about that I think that are pertinent to every single person in this church. I don't care how long you have been a Christian, how many years you've studied your Bible, how many sermons you've heard, everybody in this church is going to be able to get something out of this. I went through the book of Proverbs, and I'm studying with you. I hope you're doing it with me, where you read the chapter for every day of the week it is. So today you would be reading, what is today, the 17th? You would be reading chapter 17 today. So every day you'd be reading one of the chapters of Proverbs, and you would be reading through that and taking that in. But a couple of weeks ago, I sat down and I went through the book of Proverbs, and I went through, because it's just all these pithy sayings that go throughout the book, and they're not in any order, they don't go together, and when you look at them, sometimes you think, well, did I read that somewhere else in the Bible or somewhere else in Proverbs? But I went through, and there are, in my estimate, there are 128 verses in the book of Proverbs that have to do with our speech. 128 verses. Now, when Solomon was writing this book to his son, and he was writing it to us as well through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was trying to tell us these are important things. If you want to be wise, you need to control your speech. And I've got a couple of those verses that I thought were very good. One is Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. It says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." All of us in this room probably have a story where somebody said something to us that just crushed our spirit. It may have been somebody that we loved or even loved us, and we had said something to them, and we just crushed their spirit. And then on the other hand, we probably have had somebody in our life that spoke words of encouragement into our lives and told us that we could do something that we couldn't possibly think that we could do. So everybody has had someone in their life who's spoken words that have crushed them, and we've all had people that have come into our life and spoken words that have lifted us up. And I thought that verse was really good, because I think we understand that one. But then here's the one, and I don't have any tattoos, in case you're wondering. But if I was ever to get a tattoo, it would be scripture that I would get, because I need to look at some scriptures. This one right here is one that I would get tattooed on my forearm, so that every time I got ready to speak, I could look down at my arm and say, okay, I need to remember this. It says, "Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity." And I think that would be something good to have on all of our arms, because we need to guard what we're saying so that we don't run into trouble. How many times have we agreed to do something on the spur of the moment and then gone, ooh, I wish I hadn't have said that? How many times have we had a comeback to somebody, and as soon as it comes out of our mouth, we want to come and grab those words and bring them back in? And me being an extrovert like I am, I speak before I think so many times. And when I say certain things at times, I can look over and Nancy will be looking at me and she has that look. I cannot believe you said that. And I always follow it up with, oh, wasn't that funny? Oh, it's got to be funny. You're crying. So many times have I said things that I wish I could take back. Even I have a haunting thing that happened to me. I won't go into the details, but there was a young lady that had a crush on me, and I was young and immature, and I said something that she heard, and I didn't know she was around to hear it. And I said something about her, something along the lines that I would never date her, and she heard it. And I turned around after I said it and saw her there, and she ran off crying. And to this day, it still bothers me. And I know her brother, so I called her brother several years ago, and he claims that she doesn't even remember me. So, so much for me being hurt and upset over that. But anyway, this is not about us taking the information I'm going to give you today and saying, oh, I wish such and such could be here to hear this sermon. Okay, I don't want you to do that today. I want you to focus on you. I want you to think about what you are doing and not what somebody else is doing. I cannot tell you the number of times I've preached a sermon and on the way out, somebody has come up to me and said, that was a great sermon. I wish such and such had been here to hear it. And I think, I wish you would have heard it. And today, if you come up and you say, I wish such and such would have heard that, I'm going to refer you to our podcast and our online services so they can hear it and I don't have to. But here's the thing. I feel like I'm dealing with a bunch of little kids at their first karate class. Have you ever seen that? Both of my boys took karate. They were so excited to get those little uniforms on, tie those little belts up, and they're in there and they're kicking, and they don't know a clue. They don't have a clue about what they're doing, and the instructor says to them, now listen. You need to listen, boys. You need to listen, girls. This is so important because what I am going to tell you today is for your defense. It's not to hurt others. And I am telling you today as a church, this is for your defense. There is a thing in the military called OPSEC, and it's operational security. Those of you who've been in the military, you would know this term because it's very important in the military. One of the things that would happen is my sons, both of them, had to get off Facebook when they were in the military because it was a way for Al-Qaeda to follow the military. They do that now. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when you hear of somebody going, being shipped off, they won't tell you where they're going or what they're doing because they're fearful that someone will use that information against them. And we have the same problem going on today, in that the devil is wanting to use our tongue and our language against us. You see, so many times we hurt other people by what we say, but the real person that gets hurt by what we say is ourself. Because if we say and we do the wrong things, we lose our influence and we lose our relationships with others, and we cannot be effective for the King. Amen. So I want you to see here that one of the things that the devil is doing is it says be alert and sober-minded. And this is so true for this lesson today. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. and he's looking to devour each one of us. In World War II, there was a thing that there was posters that were out there, and a lot of people have heard this saying, but they don't know where it came from, but it was from World War II, and it was part of that operational security, and they had this thing called loose lips might sink ships. Have you ever heard that before? Loose lips sink ships is what it's been shortened down to. But they would have these posters all over campuses because they didn't know whether there were spies around, and so they wanted people to keep their mouths shut about what was going on. And today I want to talk to you about what can sink our ships, and that is loose lips. We need to be able to control our speech. We need to be careful of what we say, because sometimes what we say damages relationships to such a point that they will never be the same again. And sometimes we can say and do things that will ruin the reputation of others, or we can say and do things that will put a wedge between us and someone else that cannot be repaired. So I want to talk to you about two areas of loose lips. And the first one is lying. The first one is lying. Everybody in this room, and I don't care who you are, whether you're an elder, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a Bible class teacher, at some point in your life you have lied. It's just one of those things that has happened. You may have regretted it. You may have decided it was the wrong thing to do. You may have even repented of it. But everybody in this room at one point or another has lied. It's been pretty convenient sometimes. We've lied to keep ourselves out of trouble. I know people that have lied to keep from making themselves look bad. Amen? And I know people that's their whole job is to lie. That is what we want to talk about today, and the book of Proverbs has so much to say about it, and we're going to just go verse by verse. So if you've got your sermon notes, follow along with me. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. It says, "These are the six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him." Now, when you read that, that's kind of poetic. That's Hebrew poetry right there, saying these are the things that God hates. There's six of them, but let's just do seven so you've got it down. And he goes on, and the first thing he says, he is detestable to him, haughty eyes. Underline those words, because a lot of y'all don't know what haughty eyes are. That just sounds like, oh, he's got haughty eyes. It's not haughty eyes either. I know sometimes with me being Southern, it's hard to differentiate. But it's haughty eyes. And that's where somebody looks down on others. And God says, in the things that I hate, in the things that I detest, it is the haughty eyes. It's the people that look down on other people that I detest. And the next thing he says right here is he says, a lying tongue. You want to know what makes God angry? You want to know what makes God really upset with people? He says, a lying tongue. And you know what the next thing is? Because, you know, haughty eyes, time to time I do look down on people. It's acceptable because, you know, I am a little better than them. In lying, well, everybody lies, so I'm going to try not to do that. But look at what he says the third thing is. He says, hands that shed innocent blood. He's put the killing of innocents right next to lying lips. A heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies. He mentions it twice. He is talking about people who say and do things to the devastation of others, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Wow. Those are the people, those are the things that the Lord hates. The seven of them are detestable. The next thing that I want you to see here is in Proverbs chapter 10 in verse 18. It says, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Is a fool. God doesn't mince his word right here. If you're going to spread slander, if you're going to tell lies about other people, you need to know right off the bat that you are a fool for doing it. And you need to think twice before you go out and you conceal hatred for others through lying lips. And the next verse is Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Wow. If you are going to be telling lies to people about what's going on in your life, if you're going to be telling lies to others in order to save yourself, it says right here, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. And then Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17, food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouthful of gravel. I love that verse. Because sometimes people will come along and they will take advantage of the situation. They'll tell me enough that I want to know so that I will help them out and I will do something for them. They will give me enough information so that I will be jumping on there to try to help them. And then they'll get what they want and then they'll tell me the rest of it. And then I will think, man, I have been duped. But I don't have to worry about it. Because food that has been gained by deceitfulness is going to taste like gravel in their mouth. And they're going to be the ones that one day will deal with it. Proverbs 21 and verse 6, a fortune made by a lying tongue is fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Sometimes people lie in order to receive. Sometimes people will tell half-truths in order to receive, and they will not be telling the whole truth about what's going on, and that wealth that they gain will be a vapor and a deadly stare to them. And the final verse that I've got here, and this all has to do with lying, enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their heart they harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations fill their heart. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be opened in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back over them. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And I want you to hear these verses because all of us are going to have to deal with this in our life. I've got to tell you, when I was growing up, I was really good at lying. And I can't say that I never lie anymore because that would be a lie, wouldn't it? But I try real hard to tell the truth. I try real hard to make sure that I'm not lying to people about things. And I want you to hear this. You can get so good at lying that it's your second nature. And I'm going to tell you this too. There are some of you who are in this church who have lied to me, and I know you're lying to me. And if you've lied to me and you're feeling guilty right now, well, good. But you know, I don't go to you when you lie to me. I don't go to you and say, you know, you lied to me. I let it go. You know why I don't go to you and tell you you lied to me? Because of the fact that all I need to know about you, you told me when you lied to me. And our relationship will not ever be good because I can't believe what you're saying. And I'm going to tell you this. I've been in workplaces where I have been told to lie about something. I've been in a workplace where I worked with members of the church who told me that I needed to lie about something. And I looked at him when he told me that, and I said, what do you think the church would think about that? If they knew that our business, we were lying to people. And he looked at me and he said, Neil, church is church and business is business. And from that moment on, I never trusted the guy again. Some of you are in workplaces and you've been asked to do things that are unethical, that lie to people. And it's the way they do business. It's the way, and you can justify it by saying, hey, you know, I have to lie in order to keep my job, in order to pay for the food and the house where I live. And what you're doing is you're saying to Satan, you win here. And Satan's looking at you and saying, you know, I can't keep you from going to church. I can't keep you from being in Bible classes, but I can keep you from taking the church outside of it. And every relationship we have, when we lie to other people, we destroy that relationship. I've told you this before. If we're going to disciple other people, if we're going to share the gospel with other people, the very first thing they've got to know is, do you like me? And I think we have a loving church. I think we have a kind church. I think we have a giving church. And people come here, and I've had people, more than one group of people, come to me, and they've said to me, Neil, this is one of the most loving places that I have ever seen. And I love that about this church, because when people come in and they feel that love, that's the first step of any relationship. Because every question you have about somebody when you first meet them, the very first question is, do you like me or do you love me? But the second question, if you want to have a true relationship with anybody, is, can I trust you? And if you are somebody that lies, if you are somebody that is deceitful about things, then you cannot be trusted and you cannot have a relationship with others. Because whether they know you're lying or not, eventually the truth will come out. And I have been being a second child in a family of four, I have been the peacemaker, and I have said things at times just to smooth everything over. And I'm not saying, gentlemen, if your wife comes to you and says, do these pants make me look fat? Do not be harsh with her. Like my other friend said, and he says, no, the pants don't make you look fat. You are fat. Now, truth is not always wise, but a lie is always foolish. I'm telling you that because you need to figure out a way to navigate through this, and it's not always easy. It's not going to be easy at work. It's not going to be easy at home sometimes. It's not going to be easy when you're trying to impress people. But we are sons and daughters of the King Almighty, and when He says these things are detestable to Him, we need to change who we are. Amen. And I know some of you are very uncomfortable right now because you're thinking, did I lie to Neil? And if you did, it's okay. I love you. And I forgive you. But you got to live with the guilt. I'm going to move on from here, but the next one's going to be even worse. The next one's gossip. Gossip. Oh, my goodness. Gossip. Nobody in this church ever thinks they gossip. I cannot tell you how many people I've watched gossip, but if you say you're gossiping, oh, no, no, no. I'm just concerned about them. Let me tell you what gossip is. Gossip's real simple. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. If you're not a part of the problem or you're not part of the solution, you don't need to talk about it anymore. And I know, I've been preaching long enough, I know that some of you go home after church on Sunday morning and you have the preacher over for dinner, but I never show up. Because you're busy talking about the preacher and what he said. And there's times, I've got to tell you, I go home and I talk to Nancy. I say, I can't believe I said that. But here's the thing I want you to get. In a church this size, gossip will kill us. You know, there's people that come to this church that are struggling with addiction. Some of them struggling with alcohol addiction, some of them with drug addiction. Some of the people are struggling with shopping addictions even. There are people that are coming in here that are struggling with all kinds of things, and we want to welcome all of those people in. There are people here that are not in the right relationships with other people, and they're struggling with that. And you know what? I want to welcome those people, and I want to bring those people in, but I have yet to have a single person come to me and say, "Neil, I'm going to just tell you right offhand, I'm struggling with gossip." Not a single person. And we all know people that are gossips, right? And we all know people that just want to know everything about everybody all the time. And I want you to hear what the proverb writer says about it today. He says in Proverbs 6, 16 and 19, which is the same verse that we talked about a few moments ago, there are six things that the Lord hates and seven that are detestable to him. And verse 19 says, "And a person who stirs up conflict in the community." When we start talking badly about each other, when we start gossiping about each other, we're stirring up conflict in the community, and that, my brothers and sisters, will destroy a church. And a lot of times we do it, and we act saintly about it. I love all the people that have come in here that are struggling with sin, but the one person that scares me the most that comes into this church is somebody that struggles with gossip, because I know that those who are struggling with addiction more than likely won't do what they are addicted to while they're in here. And I can talk to people that are struggling with porn, and they're not going to be looking at porn while they're in the church. I know people that are struggling with drugs, and more than likely, they may do it before, they may do it after, but while they're here, they're not going to do drugs here. I know people that are struggling with strong drink, and they may struggle with it on Saturday night, but on Sunday morning, they're not going to be drinking while they're here. But a person who gossips will come to church to gossip. And that's the reason why the Lord says it's detestable, because it stirs up trouble in the community. Goes on to say in chapter 10 and verse 18, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool." When you spread slander about other people, when you talk badly about other people, when you say things about other people that cause harm to those other people or cause other people not to love those people or not to even like them because of something you said, the Bible says you are a fool. And then in 11 and verse 9, "With their mouths the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge the righteous escape." Look at that. "With their mouths the godless destroy their neighbors." All of us know of relationships in our families, people that have been close friends at one time or another, and some kind of gossip came out, some kind of words were said about somebody else, and that gossip destroyed their relationship. And when we talk about having the ability to reach out to others, to trust others, if we are a gossip and it is found out, what's going to happen is you're going to ruin that relationship. And I want to tell you something here, and it goes with the next verse. Well, it doesn't go with the next verse, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It comes in here later, looking at my notes. If somebody's calling you and they're talking to you about somebody else, as soon as you get off the phone with them, they're going to be calling somebody else and talking about you. It's just a matter of time. And the reason why I want you to see this is because the Bible is so clear on this. Verse 27 and 28 of Proverbs 16 says, "A scoundrel." Underline that word scoundrel. It's not a word that we use anymore. Teenagers, you go to school tomorrow and call your friends scoundrels and see what happens. They're not going to know what you're talking about. "A scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." You need to see the seriousness of gossip. We always say, well, you know, I'm just concerned for them. I just, you know, I know something's wrong and I just want to know what it is so that I can pray for them. Folks, if you are not part of the problem and you're not part of the solution, you need to leave it alone. And then verse 17, or chapter 17 and verse 4, it says, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Underline the word, a wicked person listens. There has been so many conversations that I have had with people that I have had to stop because it is just pure gossip. And they want to call the preacher and tell the preachers what's going on. And the reason why they want to call the preacher and tell the preachers what's going on, because whatever they've heard from somebody secondhand, they feel like I need to know about. I am purposely not on Facebook because I don't care what you post. If you post something that's anti-Christ, if you post something that's anti this church, I don't want to be the one to know about it, and don't call me and tell me what somebody else is doing. It's not my job. And all you are doing is you're spreading gossip. It says right here, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips. If you're listening to gossip, it's time to hang up the phone. If you've got somebody in your family who loves to gossip about people, who loves to make statements about people that are not true, then you need to hang up the phone and tell them, I'm not doing this with you anymore. We all have somebody in our family that likes to gossip, and we need to make sure that that person does not take up our time. Look at what it says next, because this is so true. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the innermost parts. Now, teenagers, I know you don't know what choice morsels are, but I'm going to tell you what they are. They are Krispy Kreme donuts. And I mean they are hot Krispy Kreme donuts, not day-old Krispy Kreme donuts. When I go by Krispy Kreme and that hot sign's on, my mouth starts to water because I love Krispy Kreme donuts. And that's what the words of the gossips are like. They are like choice morsels. They go down smooth. They taste good. And one of the things that I love about Krispy Kreme donuts is they quit selling them by the dozen. You can just buy three at a time now. So you don't have to feel so guilty, right? But every time I eat a Krispy Kreme donut, and man, I love my Krispy Kreme. Every time I eat one, it does something to my body that's not good. And every time you listen to a gossip and you take those words in, it sounds good. It makes you feel like you're a part of things, but it does something to your spirit that's not good. 20 and verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. If they're talking to you about others, it won't be long they will be talking to others about you. Proverbs 25, verses 9 through 10. When you and someone else can't get along, don't gossip about it. Others will find out, and your reputation will then be ruined. If you've got a problem with somebody else, don't go to somebody else and talk about what they've done to you. What you need to remember, if you've got a problem with somebody else, you've got to work it out with that person, not sit there and talk to other people about that. And then it goes on in 26 verses 20 and 22, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of the gossip are like choice morsels. They go down in the innermost parts. Now, all of us in this room, I don't care who you are, what your background is, and if you come to me and say, Neil, that was a great sermon, but I don't lie and I don't gossip, I'll know you're a liar and you've just lied to me. There's not a single person in this room that doesn't struggle with these two things. And it is an area that we need to focus on, and we need to try to be truthful in all that we do. We are sons of the King. We are daughters of the King, and we should act like sons and daughters of the King. I love reading the headlines about Meghan Markle and all the stuff that's going on in England. I just read the headlines because it's not important to me what's going on. But I think it's so funny because they don't, none of them want to act like they should. This one said this about this, this one said this about this, and it's just comical to me. But I can tell you this, the strife that goes on into a church because of lying and gossip will kill a church. And Solomon wrote these words to his son because he knew how important it was to tell the truth and not to gossip. I think I must have been about 12, maybe 13 years old. And my dad, if you don't know, is a preacher. He's a fairly well-known preacher in the Carolinas. I grew up hearing all the time, "So you're David Farr's kid." And so I moved to Florida. He came down here to speak, and I introduced him. "This is Neil Farr's dad." Let him have some of his own medicine. But I think I was 12, maybe 13 years old, and I remember my dad preaching a sermon on gossip, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't even know what gossip is. But he hit it hard, and he hit it very, very long. He spent a lot of time talking about it. And when it was over, the thing I remember, I don't remember what he said, but the thing that I remember after he was done, the people lined up and came forward. And that day, with the exception of me and my brothers and a few other people, almost everybody in the church came forward and repented of their sin. And I remember it because it was the longest invitation I had ever been through. And I was ready for lunch. Like, what are these people doing? And I remember people crying. And I remember people hugging. And I remember that church service going on for a good half hours after it was over. And I was young enough, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. But whatever my dad said that day struck a chord with him. And I hope whatever I've said today will strike a chord with you. But I'm going to save you guys the time of coming forward today. I'm going to pray as you repent in your heart for you. If you're struggling with lying, if you're struggling with gossip, I'm going to pray for you right now. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, your word tells us that if anyone can control his tongue, we are to be considered wise. But we also know your word tells us that's almost impossible for us to do. And Father, all of us in this room, including myself, are guilty of lying at times, are guilty of gossip at times. Help us, Father, to guard our tongues. Help us to keep from seeing calamity because of what we've said to someone, about someone, or even in protecting ourselves. Help us to remember, Father, how much you hate lying and gossip, that we will take it from our hearts so that it does not go to our lips. And tonight, Father, this afternoon as we leave here, help us to commit in our hearts that we are yours and we want to live for you in the best ways possible. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We sing an invitation song every Lord's Day. We sing that invitation song. If you need to respond to the invitation in a public way, if you want to be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you have sin that you need to confess publicly, if you have prayers that you need support, we're going to encourage you as we stand and sing.